as you give yourself to that surrender into the love of God, even at the start of this year. It may be we've even got past that new year and that resolution type thing and all that stuff, but we're still at the start of something that's bigger than we've ever seen before.
Thank you, Lord.
And as you step into it from that, in that place of surrender, in that place of humility, it's not about us or even what we hear as we've just heard. It's about you, Jesus. And Lord, we stand in that place of surrender today on behalf of a nation. We stand in that place of surrender on behalf of the nations of the world, Lord. Our neighbors, our friends, a local church that we're part of, Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender it all to you today, Lord, for your greater glory. Greater glory. Mm. Greater glory, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Dave's going to come back and play a song for us. It'll lead us into a little bit of ministry together. Remember, we can all prophesy one by one. Isn't that right? That all may learn and all may be encouraged. So we'll live from that place of we're all going to prophesy today. We're all going to prophesy today. Alan's going to prophesy today. Okay, so we can all prophesy that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And we want to encourage us to do that as we go on today. I want to share with you what I believe God said to me about this year. He spoke to me. Could you just adjust this down a little bit? I've grown since lunchtime. That's fine. Thank you. This is a pastor's suki blanket, his pulpit. He just gets all his security just behind. Doesn't matter what it looks like, as long as it's there. So, God spoke to me back in September out of Isaiah chapter 9, a well-known passage that's read at Christmas time. And I would have to say in the circles that I move in, with the prophetic people that I know and move with, that this scripture has been used more this year than any other one of the Christmas scriptures, if I can put it that way. I've seen it in different things that I've read and different people that have shared it, men of God that I know very well, prophetic guys, and is using it as a springboard into this year. And the interesting thing that I've noticed as people have been sharing it, that they've not just started at verse 6, but they've started right at the beginning of the chapter. And I believe that that's very important for this year. And I want you to notice in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, all the verses start with the words for. For. You have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal and the from the noise of battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I really believe that these are important verses for us, just at where we are as churches and where God wants to take us. And if we start at the first verse here, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Now, what we need to see is the geography here. And that is, you've got Zebulun, and then you've got Naphtali above that. It's northern Israel. It's Galilee, where Nazareth and you know, where Jesus walked, all that areas. They were the first to be hit when the Assyrian came from the north to invade Israel. But they were going to be the first to be blessed with the coming of the one that was to come. And another thing that we need to just as a little bit of a backdrop, for unto us a child is born. Speaking of Jesus and coming and his humanity, a reference to his first coming, of course. As the prophet looked down through the corridors of time, he could see a child being born. Earlier on, I think it's in chapter 8, where he speaks of the donkey's colt and all that. He could see something that was to come, and he's prophesying it 750 years before the actual event. And then he says, and a son is given. So he's looking beyond the measure to the son, to the kingdom coming, and of the increase of his government, there will be no end. I believe that that's speaking about Jesus' second coming. And in between that, there's a whole lot of things to happen. That's where we're the in-betweeners in that sense. And I believe God is trying to say something to us. I'm not talking about the movie or the TV program. We're the in-betweeners. We're there to fulfill this prophetic thing that the birth of Jesus and the whole thing spoken to by the prophet here. And he wants to say something to us. He wants to say something about our spiritual warfare. He wants to say something about increase. And he wants to say something about us believing God beyond that we've ever believed before. I believe that that's what God is saying to us. And after, it says in verse 1, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. And I want you to see this. This is so precious. I meditate on this as much as I possibly can. I wouldn't say every day, but at least once a week. It says here, and depend on your if you're using the ESV, it says Galilee of the nations. Or in the New King James, it says Galilee of the Gentiles. It doesn't say Galilee of the Jews. Now, I love Israel. Please, don't get me wrong here. But the prophet is seeing beyond the Jewish nation. He's seeing the Gentiles coming in to be part of this whole thing. This is where he's prophesying, where Jesus' worldwide ministry begins. From Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee, the Galilee that included you and me in way, way back then, 750 years before he ever came. I find that very exciting. A people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light is shining. You have multiplied the nation. We need to underline the word multiply. You see, I believe the book of Acts. I'm given to speaking in tongues a lot. Amen. I'm just crazy when it comes to things like that. I believe in the gifts of God. I believe in the multiplication of the church. Haven't seen much of it yet, but I'm believing for it. I'm believing we're going to break through and we're going to see the churches multiply and we're going to see God do it. We have to believe it. It's like Kenneth Copeland once said. He said he saw the dog chasing the rabbit and the cowboy was standing, sitting on the fence, and he said, "Rabbit, you're going to make it?" And the rabbit turns around to the cowboy and says, "I got to make it." And it's true. We got to make it. Amen. And the only way we're going to make it is by believing. I had an experience. I was in Shetland on Monday visiting some folks. And I was staying in this house. And I arrived in this house about midnight. You see, and you know, it's a strange place. So I didn't know anything about it. So I put on the bedroom. I was in this whole house to myself. So I put on the little bedroom light and midnight. I'd been up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd talked all day, so I was very, very tired. So when I got to bed to sleep. So, you know, I rolled over on my side, I put out the light, and I'm just, my eyes closed, and I'm usually out like that, you see, and I'm lying there, and then all of a sudden I just feel this hand touch me, like they press against me, and I'm thinking, there's somebody in the room. What is going on? I've seen a few angels in my time, and I'm thinking, the Lord's trying to, I want to sleep, Lord, and you're trying to say something to me. And I was just lying there, and I didn't hear a voice or anything, but I knew there was a presence, there was somebody in the room. And I turned around, and it was something God wanted me to see. You know, one of my life scriptures in Genesis chapter 15. I love preaching out of it. My people back home get bored of me, I think, preaching it, but who cares? But anyway, I just love Genesis 15. I think it's a key scripture to any believer about believing God. And what had happened is the kids that had lived in this house, they'd got one of these packets of stars and planets and put it up on the ceiling. And they'd taken every little part of it and made little stars out the extra parts, and they just filled the ceiling. And it's like the Lord was saying to me, hey, wait a minute, son, I want you to see something at the start of the year. I've taken you to Shetland to show you something. And I'm lying there and I'm thinking, oh my goodness me. And I've read it so many times, I just automatically go, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Abraham was told to count the stars if he could. He was a prophet. I believe that when that night when God, he says, how can this be that I can have a child at 90 odd? He says, come with me. Come outside. He said, now count them if you can. There's something in Abraham going 15 billion, 2,063,000, 154 in a twinkle. What's your name?
Kieran.
Abraham saw you that night twinkling for Jesus. That's why he believed. That's why he believed. You see, you got to believe in another generation. You got to believe in something that you don't yet see. We have to believe for it. And God's looking for us to believe beyond where we are. Amen? And it just always stirs me up. And I just got so blessed. I woke up in the morning, put on the light so that they would all shine again, put the light off, and I lay there. I believe, Lord. I believe, Lord. I believe, Lord. Because this is a year of faith. This is the year of the apostle. Year 12 is the year of the apostle. It's the year of apostolic ministry, beginning to fulfill what God is saying. It's the year of faith to believe beyond wherever you've been before. It's the year of increase. It's the year of multiplication, verse 3. You have multiplied the nation. And it said, increase its joy. You get ready for joy, I tell you. You come to Riverside Church on a Sunday morning at the minute, you want to see the joy. We have kids up on the platform. You can't see the worship group for kids. And they're all looking at me. I'm 63 years old. Can we go up and dance? You know, can we go up? And I'm up there and we're all dancing around and jumping for joy. And by the end of it, I'm out of breath. But just the joy of it. And I can see people sitting in their seats squirming around. When they're going to stop this till we get into the Word? You know? Ah! It's the worst about being prophetic. You know what people's thinking sometimes? Watch it. But the joy, there's going to be an increase of joy this year. Now receive it. Start smiling and practice it now before you go to church on Sunday. There's going to be an increase of joy. Yeah. And we're worship leaders. There's going to be an increase of joy. Amen. Amen. There's going to be no holding back. And then it says, and they rejoice before you. Now listen to this part. According to the joy of harvest. Now, anybody here ever watched The Deadliest Catch? Yeah. Anybody? Come on, show me your hands. Okay. Go on to the God Channel. No, it's not the God Channel, is it? Definitely not the God Channel. The other one. The National Geographic. And if you watch them in the Deadliest Catch, if one of their cages comes up and there's no crab in it, nobody's saying anything. But when a cage comes up and it's full, you hear them. That's the joy of harvest. That's the joy of harvest. When I was a fisherman, we used to catch. We always, our big deal was to catch cod. You see, and some days, not a lot of days, but a few days, we would have cod right around the boat, and the boat would be rolling. There'd be fish just absolutely everywhere. I used to come out of my wheelhouse, and I would stage dive the cod. I would lie in them, and the boat would be rolling, and it was the joy of harvest. It was the joy of harvest. You maybe think that's a bit crazy, but when you're out in the North Sea, and I'm talking about your fish supper. I rejoiced over your fish supper many years ago. But it's the joy of harvest. You see, the joy of harvest goes beyond. It goes beyond. I was in one of our churches last Sunday. I'm not doing it here because you're all very rich. But I took out my wallet and I threw it at someone last week and I said, take £10 out of there. You didn't do it last time. It was him. And what he did was he immediately gave the wallet to my wife. You see? Because he didn't, I couldn't do that. You see, if I was to hand you all £10, you'll all be wanting to hand it back to me. No, I couldn't do that. Not everybody, but don't spoil my illustration, okay? And so, if you sow for something and then you begin to see a miraculous harvest, you know? Or if you plant your garden and then you're enjoying the bounty of it come October time in the year, there's a joy in it. There's a joy in reaping a harvest. And I believe that's the joy that's coming to the church. There's the joy of harvest and the joy of abundance that God wants to bring into the church. However is the Jew going to become jealous of you and me if we don't see the joy of harvest? Because the one thing that the Jew can do, he can rejoice over harvest times. Amen? And we need to see that joy of harvest within the church. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. I remember I was about, I left school before my 15th birthday. I went on a fishing boat. So I was maybe about 16 or 17. And I'm 63 now. I know I don't look it, but that's okay. We won't go into that. But anyway, I remember we caught a lot of fish one week, and I remember my dad, who was a skipper, he came down and he handed us all our pay packet. And one of the guys opened it and he found a £20 note in it. Back there in 1919, that was a lot of money. And the joy of harvest. He says, come with me, come with me. I wasn't drinking age, but we went into the local pub and he, bang, put his £20 down. Just the joy. The joy of having it, you know, never seen this before. It's the joy of harvest. You see, we're going to see that in Scotland, I believe, in terms of the Spirit. We're going to see things we've never seen before, and it's going to cause us to rejoice. You know, somebody can get up in a church on a Sunday and say, oh, I got healed last week. Oh? Could you wind me up so I could smile at least? But it's like that because we... You know, there needs that release of joy, and that's what God is seeking to do in this year. There's something of the joy and the increase of joy that God wants to give the church. And what he's looking for is a response to the joy of harvest. We need to respond to it as the body of Christ. Amen? Okay, you can call that number one if you like, but anyway... This is important, I believe. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For unto us a child is born, first coming of Jesus, unto us a son is given. It's talking about the kingdom of God. I believe it's talking a little bit about the second coming. I'm not going to get into the theology of it, just something I believe God has said to me at this moment in time. And in between that, God's going to deal with your enemy as in the day of Midian. If you go to chapter 10, verse 26, it speaks of dealing with Midian in that chapter as well. That's where we get the scripture for, we often quote it like this, the yoke is broken because of the anointing, right? The anointing breaks the yoke. But actually the way to say it, the yoke is broken because of the anointing. Not the anointing breaks the yoke. And the picture that's given there, if you read Matthew Henry, he tells you this. It's the young ox that the yoke is put on the young ox. And the young ox is plowing and he's doing his work for the farmer. And as the young ox grows and the strength of the yoke ox, the ox grows, the yoke is broken off of him. The strength comes from the inside. That's like you and me. The yoke's going to be broken off your life because of the strength and power of God that is within you, that's growing within you, is going to break the yoke. We need to see it. We need to get hold of it in a whole fresh and a whole new way. So there's something that happened in Midian that I believe is important for this end time. Are you with me? Okay. So we need to look at Midian. We need to go to Judges chapter 6. And in there we find the story of Gideon. Okay. Now it says of Gideon that he's down a wine press and he's grinding some corn, okay? Now, many people preach Gideon, and they think, well, this poor wimp of a guy, he's hiding down a hole and he's grinding some corn, and God comes and gives him a word that he's a mighty man of valor, and he's thinking, who, me? I'm a mighty man of valor? But you see, something had to happen in Gideon's life for God to ever say that. And the thing that happened in Gideon's life that caused God to say that was, you see, it says in chapter 6, verse 1, that whenever Israel sowed its seed, the Assyrians and all the other armies would come against her and would totally destroy anything as far as Gaza that Israel had ever planted, and would totally destroy everything. But the thing about Gideon is, he's down a wine press and he's grinding corn. He had actually reaped a harvest. He had actually reaped something. Now that's exciting. You got to look for your harvest. I'll tell you something. You know, people have said to me, you'll get a crusade, and I've been at the crusades too, and we've done all that, and we praise God, and people, and I'll say, well, how many folk got saved? One person got saved. Now, surely somebody's always going to say, well, it was worth it for the one. No, it wasn't. We could have got that one saved on the Sunday morning. We've wasted all this money, done all this stuff for it, and only one gets saved. That's not the heart of God. Heart of God is for nations to get saved. It's God's will that none should perish. Something has to change up here so that we get hold of the aspect of harvest. Not just sowing, but reaping. I tell people this, you know, if this is just by the way, okay? If I get a check in the post, you know, somebody wants to bless me, I'll give you my address later. If somebody wants to bless me, I'm at the post box the next day. Because you see, my God does seed exceedingly abundantly more and above all I ever ask or think. Amen? And so when somebody's coming with a blessing, I'm always looking behind them for the next one to come. Not that I'm greedy. I'm a giver. I live to give. But I believe in a God that wants to bless. You know, my kids would say, Dad, you know, I'd come home from a trip and I would hide something in my pocket. My kids wouldn't just, they would go into the first pocket and find something, but my kids would go through every pocket. You know why? Because they know their dad. They know their dad. I'm learning to know my dad. That he wants me to go through every pocket, because he wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. Because he wants his church to begin to think of harvest more than they've ever thought about it before. Okay? And you see, when you're reaping a harvest, when Gideon reaps his harvest, God sees something in the man that he can use. You mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't believe that, no more than some of us would have believed it. But God got hold of his life and started to use him. And then he speaks about the rod of the oppressor being broken as in the day of Midian. You go to chapter 7 and you find that Gideon goes to the enemy's camp. His, you know, we often have this kind of revival. You ever had a Gideon revival? You know, you're up to 20 in the church and you're back to 10. You're up to 15 and you're back to, I call it Gideon revivals, you know, but anyway, you know, he's whittled down to 300. So he's got 300 against all the Midianites, right? And so he goes to the Midian camp and he's listening. And he's listening to what the soldier is saying. A soldier's had a dream about a loaf of bread coming down the hill, smashing into the camp, And he said, it's going to happen tomorrow, and it's the judgment of God or whatever. And it's the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. And so Gideon gets encouraged with the interpretation of this dream, and he goes back to his soldiers. Now, he's ready to start to do something. Turn with me to that scripture in Judges, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, and Kings, okay? Judges chapter 7. Just want you to see this. And I think this is important for where the church is at this moment in time. And this is what I'm believing God for, to see God do. And verse 15, and so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He worshipped when he heard the interpretation of the dream. When you receive your prophetic word, it's not about how great your ministry is going to be. Rather, go and worship. It's all about worship. Everything starts and ends with worship. You know, I think that the songs that we're hearing at the moment coming from all the various different places they're coming, they're more prophetic than they've ever been before. They're more worshipful than they've ever been before. And we've seen lots of great songs, grown up with lots of great songs. But some of the stuff that's coming at the moment, a lot of people don't like the sloppy, wet kiss bit. They change it. But I love that bit. You see, because I used to be a fisherman, and what it reminds me of is the oceans. Just a, you know, they're like a drop in the bucket to God. Just a little bit of spit out of his mouth. You know? Anyway, just a little bit romantic, I think. I just think it is just wonderful. But there's something about the songs that we're singing. Something that's drawn us into worship like maybe never before. And as we give ourselves to it, as we give ourselves to the Lord, you know, if you're always hankering back for the old, don't hanker back to Sankey. Sankey's dead. Now, Sankey was great. So was Finney. But they're dead. You're alive today. You're alive not to hanker back for the old thing, but step into the new thing. Doesn't matter how old you are, you know, age has got nothing to do with a generation change. Anything to do with a generation change is to do with you stepping into that which is fresh and that which is new. Keeping yourself fresh in the Lord. Worshiping. What's the Lord saying? You know, listen to the songs that we're singing. Oh, I don't like, that's too noisy, or let's do this. Listen to the words of what God's trying to say to us in these days, because he's about to do something in this land. It was maybe 15 years ago. I was sitting in a worship group in our church, and I had this experience. I was in a place called Bucky, and we had a joint worship group there with all our churches. And I was just sitting on the floor and just worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden I was lifted right up out of the building, and I could look right down across England, and I saw Jesus. He was standing on like the coast of France, Brittany, that way, and he's going like this to me. And so I went with him, and he turned around and he started to walk. He went down through Europe, down through Italy, across over the Middle East. He went right over, you know, Far East, Australia, Hawaii, all that area. He got to Los Angeles, and he got down on his knees, rolled up his sleeves, and he took a bucket and a sponge, and he started to wash San Francisco and LA. Just began to wash them. And then he got up from there, and he started to walk across towards New York. And just for a fleeting second in my mind, I was just thinking, what about South America? And before the thought had even formed in my own mind, the Lord turned to me and he said, I've already prepared an army in South America. Just look and see what God's done through the years. And this army of people started to follow him. When he got to New York, it just opened up like the Red Sea would have opened up. And he started to come across. And he came across to Ireland. He got down on his knees again. And he lifted Ireland up. This is 15 years ago, remember. He lifted the whole of Ireland up. And he stuck his face into it like this. And he laid it down again. And he said these words, it's me that you need, not religion. And I share that. I don't often share this. The Lord spoke to me at lunchtime to share it with you. I remember sharing it one time. It was when I was with John Paul. We were doing a conference up in our church, and I was sharing it with a few people. Some of them happened to be Irish, and this lady started to cry. She said, "Our pastor has been speaking," and this is just after it happened. "Our pastor has been speaking to us about seeking the face of Jesus." And he laid it down. And then, this is important for you folks that live around here. He laid it down, he steps over Ireland, and he comes to this area of the west coast of Scotland, and he starts to look all around the nation. And he stood there and he looked around, like what he did in the temple. He came into the temple and he just looked around. He looked at all things. And Jesus looked at all things around Scotland. He turned around and he started to march down through England again and across. And I'm thinking, and then the next I'm back in the worship team. And I'm thinking, what's all that about, Lord? And the Lord said this to me, "Unless you go, you're not going to get the visitation. Unless you go, you won't get the visitation." Because as he came onto Scotland, it spoke to me of a visitation. And if his feet's here, I'm telling you, you get ready for a visitation from God. Somebody say amen. 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 Because I believe God's about to do something. I live my life, half the year I go. All comes out of that experience because of what God said to me. Because I want to see the visitation for Scotland. I want to see God do something like I've never seen him do before. And we just need to be ready. And we need to be obedient to whatever he's saying to us. And we've got to be obedient in these days. That's one of the key factors to anything happening in the nation. Disobedient people hinder the church. You hinder leadership in the church. If you can't submit to authority, it's just an absolute travesty. You need to get hold of Watchman Nee's book, Spiritual Authority. It's one of the best words ever been written on spiritual authority. Get hold of it, read it, and live by the principles. Any training school I go to, that's the first book. It's, when I was in YWAM 1979, that was the first book they handed into my hand. Because if you learn to submit to authority, I'm telling you, you're made. You'll be made. But if you can't submit to authority, you're just going to be a nuisance to the body of Christ. You won't be in a local church if you don't submit to authority. You'll just wander the body of Christ, and you'll just become a nuisance to her. And it won't work for you. Your ministry won't work. You'll end up frustrated. You've got to get into the local body and submit to the local leadership. Every pastor in this room will be breathing a sigh of relief at this moment in time. And say an amen. Because it's so important. I go to places, I go to this place, Waco, Texas. We've all heard about that. But there's a fantastic church there. And I go to this conference called World Mandate. And it started off with about 200 a few years ago. It's now about 5,000 young people. And I just pray for people and minister to people there. And one time there's this little student, this girl comes up to me and she's standing behind me. And I could see her behind me even. And, you know, and I'm waiting for her to ask. I want to teach her how to walk in faith by learning how to ask and not to be frightened at a minister or anything like that. So suddenly she plucks up courage and she goes like this and she steps back. And I says, "Can I help you, Sarah?" And she said, "Would you come to my life group?" I said, "If I've got time, I'll come to your life group." And so I go onto the university campus and into Sarah's life group. And I get there and, you know, they're hanging from the ceiling. I say, "Sarah, you've got a big life group. Well, a lot of people heard you were coming." And I said, "So Sarah, what do you want me to do?" She said, "You can do anything you like." I said, "No, Sarah, I can't do anything that I like. I have to first," and I do this everywhere I go, every meeting I go to. All the time I'm standing here, I'm watching that man because I'm submitted to his authority. If I don't submit to authority, I am totally lost and out of it. So every now and again, I'll look out the corner of my eye, see he's happy, see he's smiling. And whenever I'm finished, I'll go straight to him and say, "How you doing? How was that okay?" Because it's important that I'm submitted to him. So this little girl, I says, I'm not leading this. You're leading this. So I have to submit to your authority. I can only do what you want me to do. I said, and I said, do we worship? Yeah, if you want to. I said, no, not if I want to. You're the leader here. What do you normally do? Yeah, we usually sing a couple of songs. I said, well, we'll sing a couple of songs. That's great. And then, do you want me to preach? If you want to, I said, do you want me to pray for people? Yeah, I think that's what they're here for. I said, well, if that's okay with you, we'll do that. Because what I've done is, I've established the authority that's totally set me free to be everything that God wants me to be and to do what God wants me to do. And if we do that, we're free then to minister. But if we don't establish authority or we don't live under authority, we have no authority. No matter how anointed you may think you are, you have no authority and it won't work for you. You'll just become frustrated. Amen? Oh, I'm going shortly, don't worry. Okay, so he worships. Worship is so important in this dispensation that we're in. It's important in everyone I know, but there's something that God's emphasizing in worship. We see that through Bethel, we see it through Hillsong and all the rest of it. Worship and through our local churches. Worship is so important, and God is doing something. And then, well, the first thing is really is revelation. He gets the revelation that there's victory. We need the revelation of victory in these days. We've lived under for too long. We've lived under. When we need to see the revelation of victory, that's what Gideon got. He got a revelation of victory when he heard the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Number two is worship. He worshipped in the light of his revelation, he worshipped the Lord. Amen? I bow my knees before the Father. Amen? And so forth, as it says to us in Ephesians chapter 3. Wonderful prayer. And then the third thing is this, the unconventional war. He doesn't tell them to pick up their swords, but he gives them all a clay pot. He gives them all a torch and a trumpet. An unconventional way to go to war. And then he begins to give them some instruction. He says, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also shall blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Listen, we know that the battle belongs to the Lord, but some of us been fighting for a long time. Stop fighting. The battle belongs to the Lord. There's a fresh revelation, I believe, of spiritual warfare that God wants to give to us. Now, I'm a John Paul Jackson man. I believe the needless casualties of war. That's my style of, I believe we totally agree on that. So I'm not going to go into all that stuff because spiritual warfare, people go, what's up there? What's around me? What's behind the curtain? And, well, I don't want to offend anyone, but, the thing about this scene here is, and I believe this is an end time scene that we're going to see, that the army of God is on the high place, and the enemy's in the valley. It's different from the pictures that we've seen over the last years. We begin to see who we are in Christ and where he's placed us. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We need to begin to see it from a totally different perspective. And that way it doesn't hold us or bind us. But we're in that place with God. Not with our sword and speaking this or binding that or doing that or whatever. But we're in that place with God. And what we have is we've got an earthen vessel, we've got a light, and we've got a trumpet. I need you to hold this microphone for me. Thank you. And the thing that I want you to see here is about Gideon. In verse 34, it says in chapter 6, verse 34, it says this, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, then he blew the trumpet, and the Abrazites gathered behind him. Right? Now, it speaks of Gideon there. In another translation, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Or, let me just find it in the ESV. I love what it says there. And I'm going to show you something. Judges. Judges 6:34. A minute, here we are. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. Gideon was clothed in the Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit like we had the Spirit. They had an upon baptism. But there's something here in Gideon being clothed with the Spirit that I want you to see. Okay? This is your life. Fill me up, Lord. So he fills us up. That you filled with the Spirit, nearly brim full. But you see, when you're clothed in the Spirit, this is a picture. Now, where are you? You're in such a place in God that you can't even see yourself. You're totally immersed in who God has made you and what God has done in and through your life. That's being clothed in the Spirit. I believe that that's how God wants us to be. And in being clothed in the Spirit, I'll be skating here in a minute, but in being clothed in the Spirit, there's the sounding of the trumpet. What the earthen vessel represents, as you probably know, is your own life. Amen? Where, according to 2 Corinthians 4, that he puts his glory in earthen vessels, in you and me. He's put his glory within us. And what needs to happen to rout our enemy for us to have our harvest is that the earthen vessel needs to be totally broken before God. And as we allow the vessel to be broken, the light begins to shine all the more. And our enemy then is routed. He's looking for a people that will shine their light brighter than it's ever been before. Our queen gave us a mandate to do it. The prime minister gave us a mandate to do it in this last few months. We need to do it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness is covering the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord has risen upon you and me. All we need is that brokenness in our lives so that the light would shine. And as the light shines, then we blow that trumpet. We herald the word of God. It's prophetic people that are called to blow the trumpet. We're called to be a prophetic people in these days. I believe we're called to be an apostolic people in these days too. That's a whole different word altogether. Isaiah 54. But God's calling us at this time to be that. You're the earthen vessel. You're the jar that he wants to use. Are you willing to be that immersed in God? So that you are completely unseen and the only thing that we see is a Spirit of God working through you, in you and through you, where you're totally immersed in him. I believe that's where he wants to bring us to. That's what he wants to do in these days, in and through our lives. He's given you the torch, the light. That speaks of revelation. The revelation of God in this season. He wants to give us revelation of his word like we've never had it before. Study the word of God hard because he wants to give us fresh revelation. You're going to begin to see things in the scripture, I believe, in this time that we've never seen before as we allow God to give us revelation of what he's put even within us. The trumpet of God, well, he wants us to be that trumpet. He wants us to be those that would declare, that would herald, that would speak forth, that would begin to declare the power of God and the word of God, because there's a harvest coming in. And the people need to hear the sound. What are they coming to? My wife was in the golf club the other day, and she's speaking to this lady, and they just got into conversation. She didn't know what we did. And so, what does your husband do? Oh, he's one of the leaders in the Harvest Center. That's what our building's called. Oh, that's where all the happy people are, they said. That's where all the happy people. Of course, my wife's a bit crazy at the moment. And she said, oh, we're the happy clappies. Don't worry. We're them, okay? We embrace that title, the Happy Clappies, because we're full of joy. And this is her preaching it in the middle of the golf club. I said, my goodness me. You know, but people are beginning to notice. People are beginning to see. Before they would notice and see, and they would just look. And I wonder what's going on in there. But now they're coming to find out. They want to find out. People are more interested in God than you and I think. It's absolutely amazing, some of the things that God is doing. 3 years ago, a guy walked into our church. I've known him all my life. He was a local Mormon leader, elder. And he said, I've just come to check you out. I said, that's fine, and you come. So he comes in at the end of the meeting. He said, that was great. He said, I've just realized for 30 years I've been deceived. He said, I need to talk to you. Come back Friday. I wanted to know if it was real. Came back Friday, long story short, gave his heart to Jesus. And then when we'd prayed for him that Friday, he looked up from the table and he pointed his finger at me like this. He said, 27 years ago, I came to your house, I sat in your study, and I handed you a Book of Mormon. You looked at it and you threw it back to me and pointed your finger at me like this and said, one day you will come and ask me what the truth is. And he goes like this, here I am. Harvest time. Harvest time. How many years have some of you been sowing and not seen your harvest? God wants to change something in your mind to start to believe for harvest, because he's a God of faithfulness. He's true to harvest. He's true to what he says he wants to do. It's time to trumpet it. It's time to declare it so that people know what we are and what we're declaring in Jesus' name. And then what happens is, after the battle in chapter 7, I love this part here. Then in verse 24, then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places. You see, what's happened to us in Scotland? We've had the book, but we've not had the Spirit enough. Or we've not been bold enough in the Spirit. And somehow the enemy, through the years, maybe not so much now, but through the years, he's captured the watering places. He's held back from us the power of the Holy Spirit in ways that, he had no right to do. We're capturing it back now. It's time to seize the watering places. It's time to get hold of the Spirit like we've never done before. And it's time for an outpouring. And I believe we're in that day. I believe the visitation of Jesus in the southwest of Scotland will be a great outpouring of God like you've never seen before. I've seen it in the Spirit. I walked with Jesus in it, in that experience. That experience, I've shared it with other prophets. They don't think I'm crazy. They believe it was real as I said it. Get ready for God to do something great in the southwest here. Get ready, because Jesus is coming and he's looking all around. We need to be in submission to him. We need to be ready to move with what God says to move. Let me finish this, and Dave's going to sing a song, and we just begin to minister to one another, and get it, allow God to touch our lives. It says here, for you have broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. I believe we're going to begin to see that as we allow ourselves to be broken, as we allow our light to shine, and as we begin to herald more and the word of God, we're going to see it happen. And notice they didn't have their own swords, for the every warrior's sandal from the noise of battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning as fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You know what another way to say the Everlasting Father is? The Helping Father. The Helping Father. I read it in a book, okay? Not something I made up. It was a revelation to me. He actually wants to help us. Amen? Amen? Oh, you all need sozoed. I don't know why you're going to Australia. You got work here. Come on. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Priests. Listen, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that day forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Of the increase, you know, I meditate like this. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Increase. I say it, increase. I even pick up my wallet sometimes and go, increase. 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 I've got a big garden and I just keep a little part. I keep a little part to plant potatoes every year because I love the principle of increase. Because if I plant one potato in my garden, I plant them speaking in tongues. Okay? So I believe for a harvest every, and I usually get from between 14 to 27 potatoes out of every stem that I pull every year. And I love the increase. My kids love, come on dad, let's get the tatties. So we would go out in the garden and you would put in the grape and you would lift them up and increase would be there. The joy of harvest. And I don't eat a lot of potatoes, but I give them all away. But I love to do it. It's an exercise of increase. It helps me to see something of that increase that God wants to give to us. We need to start believing in increase. Now, if you don't have a patch of potatoes, just go into Tesco's, touch the bag, and say increase. Whatever. Whatever lights your fire, you know what I mean? But get hold of the principle of increase. Begin to see something on TV. Just watch the big harvesters in America. Find it, something, Google it or something it. But get a hold of increase in your life. Because that's the heart of God for this season that we are in. And if you don't get into it, it's because you've not listened to the word of God. You got to hear it. And as you're hid in Christ and God, and then when the outpouring does come, it's you and God. And the thing is, when you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, there's no such thing as you ever becoming empty. It's just increase all the time. You know, people will say to you, oh, you've been here, you've been there, you've been doing this, you must be tired. I don't believe in that, because I believe give and it shall be given unto you. Now, we all get physically tired, but spiritually, no need to get weary. Just believe in increase. Just believe that as you pray for someone, he's putting it right back into you. Even more, all the time. We've got to believe the principle. We've got to believe beyond being tired or being this or being that, being stressed or whatever. That stress didn't, you know, when I was a fisherman, I was listening to four radios. I was looking at two radars, three fish finders, looking after controls with seven men on the deck. Nobody ever told me I could be stressed back in the 70s. That wasn't a word we used then. That word only came in the 80s, 90s and so forth, the whole thing on stress. Now, if you have a problem with that, that's fine. I'm not knocking that. But it's just words in the end. But listen, you got to believe that as you give to the Lord, he's giving back to you all the time. You got to meditate on it. You got to live in it so that it becomes a revelation in your heart and in your mind. And we begin to see that increase. When you see a new person coming into the church, look behind them for the rest to come. Oh, we've one new person this week. Look behind them for the two. And the three, and the fours, and the five. Look for the multiplication. More than added to. We had one of our church that doubled in 2010. And I said to the leaders, I said, well, you're nearly biblical. You're nearly biblical because God wants to actually multiply you. We need to allow that increase attitude to come into our life. And I believe this is the year of increase. Another brother puts it this way. He said, we are it's like the parable of the workers, and we're the 11th hour laborers who are going to receive the same wages as the guy that was in first through the door. We're the 11th hour guys ready to receive our reward for what God wants. And he's not going to give you a lesser reward than he's going to give anyone else. It's John 4. Don't say it's 4 months to harvest. Just live in harvest mode. Amen? and we're going to see God do some great things. Seize the watering places. If you're becoming dry, there's a watering place for you to seize back from the enemy. Take it back. It belongs to you. And begin to allow the Lord to fill you until you overflow. Amen? He's going to water us a little bit with this song. I believe it's a song. It talks about the land. And I just felt when he sung it to me in the last week, that it was very prophetic. And I wanted Dave to come with me to minister it to you today. So let's hear this and we'll just look for God to begin to minister to us a bit. Okay?
To a white for harvest, and he's saying, look at things. When he's saying lift your eyes, he's saying look at things from my point of view. It might not look like that to us, but we're actually seeing the beginnings of harvest, and we're just rejoicing over the beginning of harvest. As Joe was saying earlier, that he stage dive into the cod when they got on his boat. I believe that once he saw the cod on the thank you. Once he saw the cod on the fish finder, they were already rejoicing. And that once he saw the cod on the fish finder, they then moved into action. They may not have been doing much up to that point, but then it's all hands on deck. And that, I believe that's the situation that we're in at the moment. We've been going through a season of preparation. It's been very difficult times, but I believe that. But it's time for harvest. And I believe that it's going to come with signs and miracles and wonders as well. And I believe that Sozo is part of that. I believe somebody being healed in a Sozo ministry is just as miraculous as somebody regaining the sight, as somebody regaining the hearing. It's just as much a miracle as that. And we're seeing miracles in your healing rooms here as well. So we're seeing the beginnings. And so I wrote this song because in my spirit, this is what I'm seeing. And this is what needs to be motivating us, I believe. So this is called Revival Rain. Healing river flow across this land. Spirit fall like rain on desert sand. Do you hear the sound of rushing water of joy and hope arising? Revival rain, revival rain, falling from heaven again. Revival rain, revival rain, nothing could ever contain. Let your healing river flow. 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 Spirit of the living God, saturate our hearts with love. In the waterfall of worship, Your children will rejoice. Revival rain, revival rain, falling from heaven again. Revival rain, revival rain, nothing could ever contain. Let your healing river flow. 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 With resurrection power, you set the captives free. Yes, you do, Lord. Every eye will see your glory as the river meets the sea. Oh, revival rain, revival rain, falling from heaven again. Revival rain, revival rain, nothing could ever contain. Revival rain, revival rain, falling from heaven again. Revival rain, revival rain, nothing could ever contain. Let your healing river flow. 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 In every house, on every street, in every town, in every village, let your healing river flow. Yes, Lord, let your healing river flow, touching every heart. Let your healing river flow. Let your healing river flow.
Let it flow, Lord. Let that healing river flow in and through our lives. Father, we come today, Father, and Lord, we've shared your word, and Lord, we thank you that your word never returns unto you empty, but always accomplishes what you set it forth to accomplish. And we're believing for that, Lord, in every aspect, in every area of our lives. And I'm praying, Lord, I pray for the southwestern part of Scotland. I'm praying for all my friends here, Lord, today, in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm praying for the anointing of harvest to be upon each and every life right now, in the name of Jesus. In any aspect that they're looking for that harvest to come, Lord, I'm asking you to give them the revelation of harvest in their lives. That you would move by your Spirit. And Father God, that you would touch the hearts and lives of every single person in here today. That we would catch hold of that revelation. That we won't be saying it's 4 months. That we won't be saying it's too late. We won't be saying that it'll never happen. But Lord, we'll begin to see it happen like we've never seen it before. Help us to see it, Lord. Father, I pray for the touch that we're seeing in the north. We're praying that that would just flood the south in Jesus' name. Not that we need to take it, but Father, we just give it. We give that anointing away today. Just receive that anointing this afternoon in Jesus' name. Let that river flow. It says in Isaiah 47, wherever the river goes, there's healing. If you've given up on your anointing, take hold, seize the watering places again. If you've been in that desert land, if you've been in that place where it's just been so dry and so difficult, maybe that's been your situation, take hold, seize the watering places again. Let the Holy Spirit fill you today to overflowing. If you've lost your joy for whatever reason, have it restored today in Jesus' name. Seize it. Take hold of it. Joy belongs to you. I always say to people, the first three fruits of the Spirit, God gives you absolutely free. Love, joy, peace. Look at it in the Scriptures. You get them absolutely free. But patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all that, you got to work for them. They're the harder ones to get. But it gives you the love, joy, peace so that you'll grow the other fruits in your life. Just receive the Holy Spirit today. Receive from God. Receive from Him. Receive that encouragement. And out of that desire, begin to prophesy into the churches that you belong to, into the communities that you're part of. Begin to speak of the great things of God in a whole new way. Let's see the power of God move. If you're that earthen vessel, let Him break you that little bit more. Because we want to see your light. Your light is important to the body of Christ. We want to see your light shine in Jesus' name. Come, Lord Jesus. Touch our hearts today, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch us, Lord. Minister to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Pour out your love upon us today in Jesus' name. Lord, let it flow in and upon our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we need you. We need you today. Let's just take a moment in silence. And it's for you to choose whether you believe that's a word from God today. It's for you to judge that and take that and take what the Lord might say to you out of that. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I believe it's a word from God for us and for the southwest of Scotland to be ready for the multiplying. You've sown much and harvested little. Get ready for the multiplying. Put yourself in a place to receive and be part of the multiplying. In Jesus' name. Listen to what God is saying to you today. We'll just take a moment here and just let the Holy Spirit highlight to you. See, prophecy is very important. But what prophecy is for, so that it would affirm and confirm what you're already hearing from God. You're mature people that can hear from God. And God wants you to take the next step. And prophecy is important for affirming that. But it's important that you're hearing from God. And as He speaks to you as an individual, as He speaks to the different churches here, we just got to get behind our leaders and all the prophetic stuff that's been spoken in our local churches, and and start to move out in what God is saying. The yoke is broken because of the anointing that is upon our lives. The yoke is going to be broken over Scotland because of our anointing. Not because of any political move of any kind, but because the Church of Jesus Christ is rising up, is finding herself, finding her place, and moving out in ways like she's never done before. We just need to embrace that anointing from God today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just receive it. Take hold of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise today, Father. Thank you, Lord. The wonder of your grace in and over our lives. Let it flow, Father. Let it flow. We need that touch from you as we continue to move and do the things that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just receive it. Now, out of what we said, we can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. That's not a new concept to us. I can't pray for everyone today, but we can pray for one another. The thing about prophetic people is the easiest thing to do is to just go around the room. That's easy. I could easily do that. It's not a problem. But the thing that we need to see is we need to begin to be prophesying over one another more than just waiting for the man of God to come in to do it. So out of what we were equipped with this morning, this half of the room is going to prophesy over that half of the room. Don't look at me like that. And then that half of the room is going to prophesy over this half of the room. Don't look at me like that. You up for it? Well, you sound really excited, really excited. My goodness me. Okay, now how are we going to do this? I have no idea. So, maybe stack your chair. Tidy up your stuff and stack your chair. Okay, what I want you to do is, once you've stacked your chair, don't run away yet, okay? Because it's important that we put the word into practice. Don't be a hearer only, but we've got to be doers, right? Remember the principle, Lord, if you've a word for anyone, I'm an open vessel and I'm ready to move by the Spirit, okay? So what I want you to do is, I don't want you to go with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, or your best friend, but I want you folks on this side to get hold of someone that you least know, okay? But not your best friend or your wife. Just grab someone. Move. Thus says the Lord, move. So just find someone on this side that you maybe don't know very much. Okay?
No. If that group, if they find someone, if you find someone in this group that you don't know, pair up with someone, okay? Does that make sense? I come from a north. We're just that little bit. Okay? Y'all got someone? You find someone, pair up with someone here, right? Pair up with someone, okay? Is that clear? You might need to interpret. This poor northerner. Okay? Now what I want you to do is, I want you to go over there and pick two people to pair up with. Not your best friend, your husband, your wife. I mean, if she was there and you were here, we're definitely going to have to pray for you. But anyway, you know what I mean? Okay, so you two, in your pairs, go and pick two people from this side. Go and find another two people over there. Okay? When you find them, shh. When you find them, then draw back and you know, use the rest of the hall. Okay? Anybody that's not in a group yet, lift your hand. Okay, you can move over. Just move over. Anybody that's not in a group, keep your hand up and we'll find someone for you. If you're not in a group... Right, if you're not in a group, make up a four, okay? Anybody else? Anybody else? Four. How we doing? There's a lady here. Have you got four there? Ian, come down here. Anybody else that doesn't have a four? Down here. Yes, sir. Oh, that's a four. Okay, you four stay there. Is that okay, you four? We've got an extra two here. Anybody else that doesn't have a four? Okay, Ian, I want you to go with these ladies here. Okay, sort them out, okay? And if you are... Marian? No, you need to sort that lot out there. Yeah. Okay? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to prophesy over one another. We're going to prophesy over one another. Okay? We're ready for it? Let me just pray then. Now, listen. I'm looking for the revelation like we spoke this morning. It's not a counseling session. It's not a sozo session. It's a prophesying session. So when you look at somebody, you see, you give a two-minute prophecy to them, and you allow someone else to talk. You're a pastor, you don't give last Sunday's sermon. Okay, pastor? I don't want last Sunday's sermon. You're prophesying, and you're going to give people what you believe the word of the Lord is. So you're believing that it may be that you have to go up and touch someone and just lay hands on them, and whatever the first thought that comes to mind, you begin to share it with them. Okay? And we're believing God for the spontaneous to begin to work. Remember, it could be that you'll walk into Tesco's. You won't go on a Sunday because I know you're too religious for that. But and Monday morning you'll walk into Tesco's and God will begin to speak to you. You never know who it is that the Lord has for you to talk to. If we can't practice, we'll practice in here, but it's really for out there to change the nation. Amen? So we're going to prophesy. Pick someone in the team. We're going to start with Marian and this team. In you go, Marian. And you guys are going to prophesy over her. And so pick someone in your group there that you're going to prophesy over. Okay? Now wait a minute. Shh. Let me release that spirit of prophecy upon us. Okay? Now I'm calling the shots just for a few more minutes. Then I'm going home and you can do what you like after that. But... I'm going to tell you when you're going to move and you're going to start moving. We're going to keep it going in revelation, okay? Someone's heart opens up and you encourage them, but don't hug them and get around them, you know, because you'll come out of the area of revelation. We want you to stay in the spirit of revelation. It's not a counseling session as such, okay? Right, here we go. Father, I release the spirit of prophecy into this room. According to the anointing that you've given to me, Lord, I release that into this room today in Jesus' name. That, Father God, that we would seize back the watering places, that we would begin to receive the anointing for harvest in a whole new way. That, Father, that you would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon each and every one of our hearts. And as we, at the end of this day, Lord, encourage one another, I want to thank you that we're going to leave here encouraged in Jesus' name. Okay, it's 3:15. And we're going to go around the room. I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes to prophesy over each person, okay? And if you're quicker than that, that's fine. But once you've finished, if you just keep your voices down, because other people will be prophesying, okay? So we'll just get ready to hear the word of the Lord. You're ready to hear it and to give it? Hey, Dave, you come here. And I'll. What's your name?
Iris.
Iris, you and Dave. And what's your name, sir? Gordon, you come with Iris. Iris needs sorting out. Sorry. That's a joke. That's a joke. No, you, eh? Right, well, you tell her later, okay? You stay with that group. And you can give her that word later, if that's okay. So it just means it's fours, you know? And I'll maybe move someone else and I'll join a group. So what about you, Eleanor? You come in here. And I'll join that group there, okay? So I'll tell you when to change, but pick somebody in the group, start prophesying over them, and then we'll keep it moving that way. Do you understand what I mean? Does that make it clear? Okay, praise God. Anybody receive a bad word and not encouraged? Because we'll beat up the rest of your group, you see. If you've not received something that was encouraging, you know, because that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is encouragement, and God wants you to be encouraged. Amen? So I take it that you're all encouraged.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Bless you. Well, the most important thing is that actually it doesn't stop now. The most important thing is that actually in hearing the word of God, we carry it in our hearts, we begin to live it out, and then we carry it with us, and we live it out as we go. So, tomorrow morning, as you get ready to go to church, the challenge for all of us, every single one of us, is this. Stand in the shower. Okay? Wash, the physical, wash the spiritual, and ask the Lord, okay, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready to be the one who speaks the word today. Give me some words of encouragement. And my challenge to you, and I would like you to kind of try to find somebody that you can be accountable to about this, that actually will know whether or not you do it. So before you leave the door, you know, you actually need to find someone who will do this. Ask the question, you know, keep me accountable that tomorrow that I would actually be the one that would bring an encouragement. Okay? Will we do that?
Yes.
Are you happy? Are you happy to do that?
Yes.
Some of you are, some of you are going, oh man, I thought I was getting out of here. So it's great, isn't it? Today has been about just encouraging us to, you know, to hear the word of God, to understand the word of God, and then to apply and to take it with us. Okay, and that's actually what Joe's been here to do, and he's actually done that. That's actually what the gift of the prophet and these other different gifts for the body of Christ are for. They're actually to equip the body of Christ for the works of God that have been prepared for you in advance. So the works that you are being prepared for are tomorrow morning. Okay, so this is your preparation for tomorrow morning, all right? And so so listen, we want to thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
We know that you're here just because you love the Lord, but thank you. And bless you guys. It's great to have you with us. And...